If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
In the presence of God. You know, the devil will tell you that you're not allowed to be in the presence of God. You're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You haven't done enough to be in God's presence. As we look at this world today, we see how messed up the world really is. It almost makes us want to go home and lock the doors and the windows and pull the covers over our heads and say, that's it, I'm done with this world. But Jesus said for us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Because this is a lost and dying world, and Satan is having his way, it seems like, in the, especially the last couple of days. But I'm here today to tell you that Jesus Christ rules and reigns. He is more powerful. He is almighty. There's nothing He can't do. And the thing that we need most of all in our lives, besides salvation, is to be in God's presence. Because when we're in God's presence, there's perfect healing. When you're in God's presence, there's peace. When you're in God's presence, you have an understanding that the world can't understand. So today, seek out that place. My prayer is that this place called Harvest Church will be that place where you come in, you feel God's presence. I preach in a lot of churches. In a lot of churches I go in and out of, and I don't really feel the presence of God there. I feel that they're all worried about getting out on time. Going to Outback or wherever you want to go. But if we're really going to be victorious in this Christian walk, we've got to spend time alone with God. You've got to spend time alone with God. You've got to make a place of sanctuary where just you and God are together so He can speak to your heart, that He can tell you things that this world can't tell you. I love what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. I'm pretty sure when the writer wrote this, he made a lot of Jewish people upset. But he was talking about being in the presence of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living open for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with the pure word, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good works, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. When the writer of Hebrews wrote this, he basically was saying that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we could enter into the holies of holies. The temple there that was built in Jerusalem. They had the outer court, the inner court, the temple, and then they had this special place where God's presence dwelled. And the priest was only allowed to go there once a year to make atonement for the people of Israel. And he had to wash from head to his foot. He had to put on his priestly garments. He had to be 100% perfect. And then he would go behind the veil and make a sacrifice for the whole nation of Israel. And if there was anything wrong with that priest, if there was any blemish on those clothes, the Lord would strike him dead. And they would drag him out and look for another volunteer. I wouldn't want that job. I would say, pick somebody else to be the high priest today. But see, we serve a great and mighty God that the veil has been ripped in two. We can go into the Holy of Holies. We can go right next to God and say, God, I got a problem. I got a problem with my wife, or I got a problem with my kids. I got a problem with my finances, Lord. Help me. And you know what? God does not tell us to leave. He tells us to get closer, to approach Him with boldness. It says this, blessed are the pure in heart because they will see God. We will see the Lord as we cleanse our hearts, as we ask God to forgive us from all our righteousness, as we ask God to come into our lives. We will see God. We will feel His presence. It says in Psalm 37 or 73, 28, it says, as for me, it is good to be near to God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. How many here need a refuge? A place of safety. A place where the devil can't get in. A place that where trouble does not exist. God is our refuge. We need to run to Him. But this is how it works in most Christian lives. We get saved. We get all fired up for the Lord. He comes into our life. He makes us a new creature. And after a while, that light begins to dim. We don't stick as close to God as we should. And a lot of times we'll put God on the shelf and say, Lord, I've got this. I can do this. And then we end up falling and making a mess of our lives, and then the Lord has to pick us back up. And we don't have to live a life like that. When you look at the nation of Israel, they were just like that. They would get so close to God, making sacrifices. Jehovah's their God. They would cry out. And then things would begin to prosper. Things would beginning to be good. Their crops would grow. Their cattle would have other cattle. The sheep would multiply. And they would forget all about God and start serving false gods. We as born-again believers do not have to live like that. But we have to stay close to God. We have to be in His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Don't ever think for one moment that you don't need God. You need God every day. So draw near to Him today. It says this, that we need to come to God with boldness. See, the priest had to come with fear and trembling. But we come to God boldly because God sees us that we're under the blood of Christ. That's what makes you and me holy, is Jesus Christ, because we have given our lives to Him and we serve no other God besides Him. So today, walk in that faith. Walk in the power that Jesus Christ will give you. He'll give you that confidence that you can approach God anytime, day or night, and you can ask Him for anything. He'll either tell you, no, that's a terrible thing to ask for, or yes, I'll do that. So as we draw to God with confidence, it says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach the throne with grace and confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you approach God, you know what He does? He gives out grace. He gives out mercy. How many people need grace and mercy in their lives? We all need it, right? We need to have more mercy, more grace, so that we can be gracious to other people, that we can be merciful to our neighbors, not judging, not tearing down. And then that can only come through Christ. For He gives it out as we approach His throne room. He gives out grace. He gives out mercy. How should we approach God? It says with a sincere heart. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. As we live in this world, sometimes we let our hearts get polluted. We let envy and strife and anger and all kinds of things well up in our hearts. And God has to do a heart transplant sometimes. My question to you today, how is your heart? What kind of condition is your heart in? Is it beating full of love and compassion and grace? Or is there things in there that should not be? Isaiah 29 wrote this. He said, these people, he's talking about the Israel nation then, these people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We need to be people that what we say we're going to do, we're going to do. We need to be the same person today in this church as we are on Monday when we go to work. We need to let our light shine. When you walk into that office that's full of profanity and all kinds of things going on, backbiting and people trying to strive to be number one, we walk in that place and we bring peace because we bring Jesus into that place. We need to be men and women of faith that people know who we are. Jesus Christ does not want anybody to be a secret agent Christian. You know what that is? That's when you come to work every day and nobody knows you're a Christian. The world should know that you're born again. Your boss should know that you're born again. No Secret Service Christians. No 007s out there, people. We're all serving the King. We let people know. I love James Bond's movies. And it's kind of funny when he goes up to these people, he always says, his name is James Bond. He doesn't try to hide it. I'm the Secret Service guy that's going to wipe you out. And that's what we have to do. We bring peace in that situation. How many people work for a boss that's terrible? Don't raise your hands because this is all going to be recorded. Put down your hand, Chris, because you work for me. He did not mean that. Now what I do? But it's amazing when you pour out love and compassion on people, at first they'll reject it, but you just keep loving them. You keep putting them first, and you can break that heart that's full of hardness. Give them a new heart. Because they can see something in you that the world doesn't have. They see peace. They see victory. They see a compassion that surpasses all understanding. And then it says that we can come to God with a clean conscience. What does that mean? That means at nighttime when we put our head on that pillow, we don't have all this regret. See, Satan will come along because that's his job, to accuse the brethren, to say, man, you really mistreated your wife that day. You really mistreated your kids today. You really said things you shouldn't have said. See, that's his job, to fill our mind up full of evil thoughts and terrible thoughts. But we need to come to God with a clear conscience. And that can only happen as you stay in his presence. For he makes our conscience clean. Paul writes in Acts 24, I strive always to keep my conscience clean before God and before men. Paul, the great apostle, never did anything out of envy or strive for to get the pat on the back or to get the trophy. That was not Paul's way of doing things. He did everything for one purpose, and that was to bring God's glory. And if you're here today, and you, no matter what you do for the church, whether you teach in children's church or you work in the nursery, if you do those things for the trophies, the Bible says you have got your reward. If you do those things for the pat on the back, And you can find out these people because they get real upset if someone doesn't pat them on the back or congratulate them for taking care of the children's church or nursery. We do everything for God's glory, for His purpose. And when you do that, your conscience is clear because there's no hidden motives why you do what you do. Most of you know that we go all over the world and we build churches and Bible schools and orphanages and all that. That doesn't mean one thing if God doesn't get the glory. If Dave Nichols gets the glory, that's a terrible thing to do. That's why a lot of times I don't tell people what I do. Because I want all the glory to go to Him. I want God, because you know what? I want God to give me the trophy. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for His trophies. When I get to heaven one day, well, He will just pour out stuff on me, and I won't even expect it, but God's trophies will be unbelievable. They won't be plaques that we put up on the wall. These trophies will be way beyond anything we can imagine. So everything that you do, do it for one purpose, for the glory of God, so your conscience can be clear. So why should we draw near to God? Why don't we just try to do it ourselves? Because it says here in Hebrews, there's a day approaching. There's a day approaching when Jesus Christ will not come back as a baby in the manger. He will come back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's going to come back for a church that is spotless. We need to be ready. And the only way you can be ready is to draw close to God. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about this parable about 10 virgins. About 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And what made them foolish that when the bridegroom came, they were not ready. They got lax. They let their oil burn down and their lights were not able to be relit. We can't let that happen to us. We have to be on fire for God all the time. We have to let God pour His oil in us so that we can be the light of the world. That when others see us, they see Jesus. And they want to be like Jesus. Don't be foolish. Draw near to God. And when that trump sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and those that are alive on the earth will meet Him in the air, don't be the ones left behind. Matthew 25:11 says this, talking about the virgins that let their light go out. Sir, they said, open the door for us. But He replied, I tell you the truth. I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of His coming. You know, we don't hear too much about the second coming of Christ anymore preach, but I'm guaranteeing you this, it's in the Bible, and it's going to happen. And we need to be ready, because I know we're closer now than we've ever been before. Everything that has to be fulfilled has been fulfilled. And I don't know why God is waiting. Maybe for that one more soul to come into the kingdom, I don't know. But I know one thing, I have to be ready. So when He comes, I will not be left behind. I will meet Him in the air. That's my prayer. That should be your prayer. You should live your life in such a way that if Jesus came today, you would not be in that pew very long. You would go right through this roof. That's how we got to live our lives, people. Because this word is true. And what He says He's going to do, He's going to do. So this morning, are we going to draw near to God? Are we going to go out those doors the same way we came in? See, we talk a lot about how the devil can tempt us, make us trip up and fall. But the main way you can overcome those things is that you get so close to God. See, because the God and devil cannot exist together. God wants to do something in this church this morning. He wants to do something in your life. Will you allow Him to draw you closer? Where you can hear that still, small voice. And when He tells you to do something, you won't have to say, "What? What did you say, Lord?" You'll hear and you'll obey. Because God is on your side. He wants the best for you. So today, draw near to God. And He'll draw near to you.